last week. Okay, I think we're here.
Now you know we're on a roll, because we're so close to Hanukkah. We'll be pushy. We should talk about Hanukkah.
Right.
But we're not stopping.
We really should.
Yeah.
Actually, the Zenit last week we kind of hit a.
You should come to Zenit.
I just had to say,
just the way it was delivered, it deserves a fist bump. Okay, so Yisod comes from Das. Das determines the Malchus. And Yisod is based on that. Chabad is the initiation. It gives the purpose to all our actions. Right? Right week?
Yeah, that was two weeks ago?
It
was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. How come I'm still here, though? Took notes last week. Okay, I'll keep on reading. The Mashpia is the purpose of Torah, Tefillah, in Chesed. It runs through you. Oh, and that's where we got to.
Yeah.
The Mashpia. Yeah.
The davening.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Everyone's a Mashpia and the Shekhinah is in pain. We need to act. We can act every day in a way to be a Mashpia, as you sowed to the world around us, which is the Levush for the Shekhinah. Meaning, we got to the end where we spoke about how davening really isn't the taking. It's really it's the going up and being Mashpia. Then we went to that whole conversation about, like, am I really using myself as the Mashpia when I daven, saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, just, you know, give me all the money and I'll give it out to your people? Or am I going up and saying, really, I want Yichud Hashem. And if I can somehow affect Yichud Hashem in my tefillah, then great. And let that be Mashpia wherever it goes. And you made the point to say, like, if you think you're going to go out there and do that, Hashem's not going to take care of you, then you got to go back to, you know, don't pass go. Like, you got to go back to first base because you have no emunah. Like, just worry about the Kadosh Baruch Hu and be a Mashpia on that process.
Right.
And then that will give you whatever is yours. And then you said,
can I stop you there? Because I was trying to make that point. I don't think you. It's. I don't think you could take yourself out of that process. It's still you. You're still involved there, and I think that's important that you're involved in there.
I think the question
it's
is
not that I'm standing here in my corner. Hashem, you know, take care of the world. Be much beyond the world, and of course, I'll be included.
No, but you're the vessel through which.
That's what I was trying to say.
No. I'm not saying. First of all, it wasn't me. The rabbi also said that it wasn't. But I did say it. I did push that point.
Pushed
I agree.
It, but I was trying.
Yeah. But
my point was give me all the money, and I'll take care of everybody else, and I'll put it out there. That wasn't really what I was trying to get at. The point is that you're standing in front. It's you. I am standing in front of Hashem. And I'm saying, Hashem, you must be on the whole world, and let it come somehow through me. I don't know exactly what the mechanics are.
That's where you drill down.
That's right.
You got to drill down to let it come somehow through
me. Right. Why do we have to go that far?
Yeah.
So you're probably saying that it's not possible for a person to dive in a way where that the outcome is that he's out of the process. I mean, out of the reciprocal part of the process. Meaning, what's going to happen afterwards?
That's how the mechanics work. You're part of it.
Who says that
you're standing in front of
us? Right now, you're part of it. But who says that when it's coming back down this way, you're part of it?
You're standing in shul, right? And you're saying, Hashem, please miyachid your name in this world. And as a result of that, there'll be shefa coming down to everyone to be filling their pockets of parnasa.
Okay.
Right? You finish davening, and the next thing you know, just throughout the day, everyone has more. Let's assume. No one knows it's you. It's not connected through you. You don't have any more. You don't. It just, the shefa comes down in this world in a way in which it is totally in the physical world irrelevant to the person who's
okay. So maybe that's where I'm unclear. I don't think I'm saying it needs to physically come through.
Clearly, you're not saying that.
You're saying the same thing.
That wouldn't even be possible.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Well, why does?
I'm just saying that the response. Okay, fine. You're right. Let's not limit ourselves. But the response from Hashem's response. We want Hashem to, the response should be because of what we're doing, because of what we're initiating and creating, which ties into Hanukkah, what we're saying. What we're initiating towards Hashem, we want that response to come.
You don't want the response to come through you because look what I did.
No.
Now I understand what you're saying. We're saying the same thing. You're just saying you're going like this, but we're going like this. Right? You're saying my tefillahs should make a change in the world.
Right. And then when that change comes down, I don't know if it's in our schus or it's somehow related to us. It's not that we're standing here in the corner and Hashem's taking care of everyone else. It's connected. We're that then becomes part of us somehow in some spiritual place. Does that make any sense?
It does. I would love to clarify that in a little bit. We're not going to go ahead. No.
Why did Yichud Hashem translate into Shefa and Parnasa?
Because he's Sephardi.
why is it?
I'm just saying it from the perspective that everything really in this world is just a process of Yichud Hashem to some extent. And then when that happens,
Yichud, it brings Rachamim to the world.
Everything is Parnasa. I mean, the world doesn't go on unless whatever that Parnasa is, it's whether it's a cow's grass or everything has to have air. I mean,
but it has to come from Hashem's Rachamim.
But I'm saying in order for Hashem's Rachamim to show, the world has to continue. The only way the world continues is if Parnasa is given to the world. It's
right.
It's a circle. You can't.
Right. The question is, what's the beginning of the circle? So I saw it maybe in the Sif Seichen. I saw it somewhere. In that the way you're supposed to look at every bracha is Yichud Hashem, and because of that there should be refuah. Yichud Hashem, and because of that there should be what you're really doing is saying, all I really care about is Yichud Hashem, and because of that let it also there be a channel that comes in. That's how he says it at least.
I'll come back, Ari.
So I'll say the last 2 points and then you'll go. Then you said that's really the core of being a Mechaya Mesim, which is really going from being a Mekabel to being a mashpia, and then that's when I said the point, right? Lo risi tzadik ne'azav is the point you just said. God's not going to forget you. Like, don't think for a second that you're going to go out and ask Hashem for a thing and He's going to forget you. So that's how we ended.
Something I was wondering about this week is it's not practical. Come 2:30, so does that mean that the Messiah should not be davening for anything individually for myself? I should only focus on what I know other people need?
No. Much more than that. Not just what other people need. Only with the really with.
But then you could take it in stage. But you could say, like, there's obviously the guy. One level is, you know, him davening in the first place is something. He's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then there's, you know, asking for things other people need. And then there's asking for only the Shechina should need. But it's, you know, when we think about our general tefillos, there's always an ask. You know, always. Basically, there's a perspective of asking for your own stuff, and he's like, maybe that's okay. That's good. You're somewhere, but you can do better.
That's because that's the madriga which you're holding in, and that's a relative MS. Meaning, there's a let's start like this. There's two levels of MS. There's what's called the MS, which is a relative MS, and then there's the MS which is the objective MS, subjective versus objective MS. When Yaakov was given the Nisayan to go in to Yitzhak and to tell Yitzhak, Anosi Eisa B'charecha, and to take the brachas, so Yaakov was the Isha Emes, and this was a very difficult Nisayan for him. Right? But the goal of that Nisayan was what? For Yaakov Avinu to elevate his Emes to a higher Emes, the Hainu. Since Rivka told him what the Ratzon Hashem is, so for Yaakov to come in and to say, Anoichi Eisa B'charecha, and whichever way you slice it, you could slice it that Yaakov didn't say any fibs, and he got away with it, and 100% I'm sure he did. But al kapanim, you could say, no, anochi b'tzibecha, you lied. You lied. So Yaakov, you know, he lied? Could it be? Terah says, no. Because what happened was, is that Rivka, and through this Nisayan, he was being elevated, says Rav Chaim Vital, to a higher MS. If you know what the Ratzon Hashem is, that MS is the objective MS, and that trumps everything else. You know what that does? That makes your lower level of MS a sheker.
The raya for this is that...
I haven't said anything yet, but go ahead.
There's a raya for what you just said. Okay. Hashem tells Avraham the story of Sarah. Hashem, so to speak, lies to Avraham.
Right.
So how could that be?
Right.
Because by definition, if Hashem says it's
that's
not a lie.
Right. So Chazal say, Mikan mutar l'shanos b'pnei shalom. But that's only on our level, mutar l'shanos. Right. That's he's teaching us something. I mean, if Hashem does something and he wants us to know about it, he could have done it in 1,000, 100 million ways. Like, why did he do it this way? To teach you, Yisod, that mutar l'shanos b'pnei shalom. Shalom is very powerful too. Don't forget that. Shalom has the kayach to take a lower MS and to trump a lower MS. But if you want to look at it from Hashem's perspective, whatever comes out of Hashem's mouth is the MS. Mm-hmm. That's very to the extent that if Hashem says to do the higher emes, and then I go ahead and I do the lower emes, I'm not practicing even a lower emes anymore. I'm practicing sheker. That's sheker. Because Hashem said he wanted it a certain way, So then it's not relative anymore, like a lower emes, a higher emes. If you know what the higher emes is, then respective to that, the lower emes is already now b'chalal sheker. You could be so harsh. That's the reason why many rebbes, they said certain things which were very sharp, which is all of us who are holding on to lower emes, it seems like blasphemy. Like, how can you say such a sharp thing like that? As if like you're making something out to be total sheker, like total nonsense, like you're putting it down. But the truth is that when you're standing in the place of higher emes, and you're looking down at everything, you're saying it as it is. It's just that people can't handle it because they're in a lower world. I don't know where we are anymore. What was your point?
Daven for yourself versus daven for somebody else.
Okay.
What were you saying about Mashpia?
Okay, 1 second. So, like this. So, the fact that I have an ani, I'm just waiting for the vacuum cleaner to go on, right? I'm just waiting for it. It's the perfect time right now to have it come in, getting juicy. So, the fact that I think about myself, ani Mordechai Yeshua Rubinstein, is a relative emes. And our job in this world is to peel away all the layers of who we are, the hainu who we think we are, and to uncover a greater truth. Who's the real Anoichi in this world? Anoichi Shem Elokecha was a declaration to the whole world. It's only one Ani. That's what Anoichi means. The difference between Anoichi and Ani, says the Zayar, the Chaf stands for a Keser. And so Anoichi versus Ani, Hashem, that Ani wears the Keser. That's called Anoichi Shem Elokecha. There's only one Ani in this world. When we live in our own Dalet Amos of Ani Mordechai Yoshua, that's considered to be Galus Mitzrayim. That's a Galus Mitzrayim. A person's job in this world is to go beyond his own Ani and to start living beyond himself. Because if he lives only in his Ani, in his own Dalet Amos his entire lifetime, that means he never left Mitzrayim. And people who have money or who like to travel or who like to see and to do, they make the mistake to think that if they go lots of places or they do lots of things, that's called like they're leaving their Ani. But they're not. They're just taking their Dalet Amos wherever they go, and they'll never feel satisfied because wherever they go, they're still in their Dalet Amos, called Ani. But because their sight is so limited in terms of like the destinations where we can go, they're only looking at this world horizontally. And the horizontal landscape is very limited, but vertically sky's the limit and beyond. And the role and the avodah of uncovering and revealing and peeling away superficial levels of ani to get to the only anoichi is the process of geula, which takes place. And as we do so and we start to live beyond our Dalet Amos, the people who surround us most tightly become the receivers of our process of geula. Our families, our friends, our rebbeim, our talmidim, v'chule v'chule. And that's just as the layers begin to peel off, so a person starts to live much, much more beyond himself. That's at least on the Bein Adam Chavero landscape. Until the point where he's living for all of Klai Yisrael, and then he's living for the whole world. But where this road eventually takes a person, if he's still searching for the truth and he still hasn't lost sight of the ultimate goal, the tachlis ha'amiti is that you'll find that the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam is the only anoichi, really. And so what happens is that the process of this process of ani and geula means expanding the ani. That your person can't really get rid of his ani, right? His ani is his ani, no? So what's happening is that he's expanding his ani. He's expanding his ani, and he's bringing many, many things into his ani. And that's really what a Baal Chesed is. Actually, the difference between a Baal Chesed and a Baal Rachamim is as follows. Rachmanis means, if I see somebody who's hurting, I'm motivated to do for that person because it hurts me to see him that way. Not because I want to give to that person. We're taking a little detour to explain the difference between Chesed and Rachamim, right? What's the difference between Chesed and Rachamim?
Rachamim is like pity.
No.
Rachem has a mixture.
Oh, pity, rachamim? Right. Rachem is pity, yeah. Chesed, I thought you said chesed.
No.
Okay, what you want
to
say?
I'll say it has to include some kind of din in it if it's
right.
Got rachem.
Right, so the din is that it's nogeya to me. Meaning, the din is machayiv me to give. Meaning, why? Chesed is not a machayiv. Rachmanis is a machayev. There's a din in it because it's a mix of chesed. Now, what's a machayev? The machayev is that I have to give you because I'm hurting to see you hurt like that. So I'm not just doing it to alleviate your pain. I'm doing it to alleviate my pain. Because it's Rachmanis to see you that way. Because my Rachmanis on you is Rachmanis on myself. I shouldn't have to see you like that. Chesed has nothing to do with me. Chesed means giving outside of myself. So again, like this. A person who says a very small ani. If somebody comes and he's collecting stucco and he gives him. Why does he give him? Torah says, not because it hurts me. Because either because I have to, because the Torah says so, that's din, that's just pure glurus. Or I'm giving it to you as chesed because I like doing things for people outside myself. Outside myself. But that's not because it has to do with me. It's not because I have a rachmanis on you because it's nageyami. Rachmanis is, it's a mixture of chesed and din. Dehainu, I'm giving outside myself. But it's nogea to me. How does that happen? So the real way in which that happens, that's the way kivyocha, how the Eibishter works, is that a person expands his ani. And so therefore, much more is included in this ani than just me. Understand? Is this making sense?
Yeah.
What happens is that when a person follows the trail of MS, he gets to a place where a bomb explodes at the end of the trail. And that is that until now you were expanding your ani, big, 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 big. And all of a sudden this big, big balloon pops. And you thought that you were on this journey of having everything included in your ani. And then as soon as you got to the finish line, he just showed you, you have no ani at all. I'm the only ani in this world. That's really the story of history, is that there's a very big sitra achra. Which wants to take over the world and say ani, 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 ani. And then as soon as that Sitra Achra has this huge cloud over the world and it says, everything is this ani, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and he's going to go, boop, he's going to pop it, and he's going to see, there's only one ani. But you set up the world so that the world should recognize that there's only one ani. That's ani Hashem Elokecha. So what happens is like this. Through the process of growth in Avodas Hashem, we have to be real. Mitach Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma. Shalol Lishma means it's a little bit of a mixture of the ultimate goal, but yet also with a little bit of like nebuch, that's where you're holding right now. Which means that I'm pushing constantly, I'm pushing the gvulos, and I'm pushing it outside myself. And so the fact that I'm not being mispalel on myself is already an accomplishment. Because I'm thinking about davening outside myself. But ultimately that goal is to daven only purely, truly, solely for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dahanu for Hashem Shechina. That's what it means to be a mashpia. We don't need to daven for Kodesh Baruch Hu, if we can get a little bit more Hasidish now. We don't have to daven for Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's the ineffable, that's untouchable, like Ani Hashem Koidem Achet, Ani Hashem Acharet. That Kivyochel doesn't need anything. But for the Shechina Kedoshah, which is how Hashem manifests itself in this world, the Shechina Kedoshah, which is Hashem manifesting itself in this world, says, I'm making myself vulnerable so that you can help me, so you can be a mashpia to me. So as soon as a person has that on in his sights, so then what happens is that everything else which I should perhaps daven for becomes bottled to that. Because really, whose role and job is it to take care of Klai Yisrael? That's the Shechina Kedesha. That's the Shechina. The Shechina knows how to take care of better than anything. And that's really the Ratzon HaElyon, is that the Shechina should have an Aliyah, v'chule v'chule. So from a place, from a Mabat of Pnimis HaTaira, the person understands it well, he'll come to the conclusion that there's really only two things to daven for, which is really one, which is to daven for all of Knesset Yisrael completely, everybody all at once, or for the Shechina Kedoshah, which is somewhat synonymous. The Noam HaLimelech has a Torah where he talks about, this is where the tzaddikim are crying. What should a person focus on? What? Daven for the Shechina or all of Klal Yisrael? It wasn't even in like the, they're not even in the world of like davening for myself. Because, Rabbi Yisai, that davening for myself is the lower emes. It's the limited sight of emes. It's the Basher Husham. It's where you are. So there's a truth to that, to daven for yourself. Nobody's going to hold you accountable for davening for yourself. But mitzad the higher MS, which is like the standard to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us to because he wants us to be there, we were created for that. It's just that we think we're so low in our own eyes, but Hashem has much higher expectations. Hashem says to us, you could daven for the Shechina. You think it's too big for you? You don't know who you are. You know who you are. The Shechina is your friend. Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is the Shechina. Hashem says, I'm your friend. Don't overlook me. Don't think that you're much smaller than me. Don't think that the Shechina is not on your radar. You're a big person. You can do big things with your tefillah. That's what Chazal say. Tefillah is min ha'dvarim which it's in the highest places in the world, be a pupil of mezazel in it. So we touch that up to mean that we come at the shul and we check our cell phones and we're not paying proper attention and we're thinking about work already or other things we have to do. We're not giving the proper kavanah to davening. That's what we think, that it's berum shalom mezazel. No. Even if we were to have 100% kavanah, we came, we prepared, and the entire davening was really stark, and I conjured every single word, but I was davening for what? For me. That's called that's what you did. You worked so hard to have such a good davening just for yourself. You know what you could have done with davening like that? Of course, we're not going to hold you accountable for that, but Hashem says, from the place of emes amiti, when I look at what you just did in your davening, I said, oh, what a shame. What a shame.
Charlie's going to be nervous that people are going to fool themselves.
I feel like I'm back in Rosh Hashanah.
So how come so much of davening is only for physical things?
Say again?
Then why is so much of davening only for physical things?
It looks like it's physical things. Yeah. But in the Sharashim, it's not physical things. Okay. Meaning,
you said a lot of time, which is right. It's got to be relatable to everybody. Davening, the basics, it's where it's written. Everyone has to be able to relate to it. So that's how it's written.
The pashas of davening is that a person should be able to pick up a certain matter who he is into daven pashas. But that could still be mezalzelin. Only mishalom means that when you look at it, you see it from a mabat of ruma shalala. But we can't be machayev everybody for that. But that's really the place where davening is. Davening, Hashem looks at us down and He says, "I'm giving you a tool called davening." And I'm saying, Hashem says, "Listen, I'm giving you this amazing weapon. You're a mashvi in this world, and it's something which is called the malchus of shchinah that should get working."
Could we double click on the concept of rachamim for a second?
And go back to the tussle part of the whole shiur.
Yeah, because I think it's actually the ikkar, which is, if you understand rachamim the way you said it, which is pity, two things emerge. Number one is that you understand that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu lives in this kingdom, then maybe the way that you are ma'ariyah rachamim onto the world is when you have rachamim on the Shechina.
That's exactly right.
And on the flip side, it's when you understand that, you realize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's rachamim really is that when he looks down and sees a Jew without parnasa chas v'shalom, he's mamish in pain. So rachamim really is our connection to the Shechina in a very real way, because that's the emotionality on both sides of this.
That's right. Rabbi Nachman has a Torah where he says, if a person is suffering, you should think of how great he is. Because if he's suffering, that means that Hashem is giving him a taste of the Tzar Shechina. And Hashem is saying to you when you're suffering, know that if you're suffering, be mishtatev in the Tzar Shechina, how great are you? So if we don't know through our tefillos and through our avodas Hashem how great and how impactful our actions are and what we do, so Hashem gives a little bit of nishsurin to say, listen, the wake-up call. You're davening, you're tayrish, you should know also just how much you have shaykh.
So what does it mean? Maybe this is what Menachem is asking. What does it mean if we're davening for the Shekhinah? So what does that mean when you say atachayneh or refeinu or barchaleinu in connection with, if we're trying to relieve the Tzar Shekhinah, how does that work?
So really davening for the Tzar Shekhinah is something which is like davening opi chasidus, davening opi kabbalah. It's really the pnimis of what it is. So the answer, like Menachem said, is really these are just levushim. So we can explain it up pshat too, but really just understand that these are levushim. When we say atachayneh, we're not talking about per se giving das. We're talking about being masakin the sphere of chachma. And then if we say hashiveinu, we're not talking about bringing klai to the tshuva. We're talking about being masakin the sphere of bina. Meaning that all these words have translations in pnimis ha'tayra, where those who know pnimis ha'tayra, so then it translates into a different language, which is the shayrish of what that is. Just the manifestation of that will be hashiveinu. It'll cause a tshuva movement. But we're not ma'ayir tshuva in this world because we say the words hashiveinu mitzvah, and we're asking Hashem, you know, per se to bring. Of course, that's the pashup shot that will never change, no matter how high you go. Tefillah is always in Ever Lifnei Rabo. He's saying words and he doesn't know anything and he says hasadafim pasha. But in Pnimius, what's going on is that I'm pushing buttons and osios and I'm playing with world energy, which basically is saying, let's be misakin the sphere of Bina. And when that happens, so then Memela Hashemina Bina says that all these things happen. So there's two dimensions of Tefillah which are not exclusive of each other, which is the Pashup Pshat and Tefillah, which is the Iker. It's saying the words Pashup and because that never changes. That simple truth is really the Tachlis. but to know and to grow and to understand through depth of understanding, that to raise the bar of tefillah, and when we do that, we also raise the pashas of davening too. The pashas of davening also gets raised much more.
Push it.
Meaning the fact that a person stands in front of Hashem with humility, and he says and he davens from a place of I don't know anything. All I know is I should say these words and stand in front of you and just say Hashem Nabi Lasek and really mean it. That will never change.
So you should have even in mind what the words mean when you say Hashem.
You should what?
You should even have it in mind.
No, you should. It should be so rugged what the words mean that you should.
Doesn't that disturb the ultimate?
No, it doesn't, because there's certain things that should just be automatic. You know how like when you drive a car, you don't have to think about how you drive; you just drive. When you talk, you just talk. So davening and the parish amilas and davening should be so rugged and it should be so understood that when you're saying the words, you don't have to focus on what the words mean. It should just be like you're saying them, and it's just one with you, those words with you mean. You create a space where you say the words, and you're saying the words just like in complete bittul and humility to Hashem. It's your essence which is saying that word. It's not just that you have to think about it anymore because you're so rugged. That's why the Shemona Esrei is doesn't change from day to day, because we don't want your thoughts having to be in the silliness of just the changing of what it means. So now it says a little bit different. So that makes it my tefillah, gives me more. So that's not a real hischachos. That's a fake hischachos. If what makes your life better today than yesterday is that you're wearing different colored clothes or different colored shoes, that means you're living a very superficial life. So
on that, like with the driving analogy, if I'm thinking of every turn and every this and every stop, like, you know, instead of just driving subconsciously, if I'm davening the same way, I want to be subconscious. I don't want to think of every word and what they mean. I want to just, meaning I shouldn't have any, I know what they mean, right? Like, you know what the words mean already, at least you should. Right. But you want to say them without even thinking about what the words
mean. That's right.
So that's it. Means just going in there, not even.
What happens is like this. It's like driving a car. Lahavdo, right? If you get from one place to the next, that's what davening really is. So while you're davening, it's like you're driving. You don't have to focus on your driving. You want to be able to listen to a shir, nice deep shir, right? And the more that you have, that the coast is clear, and you don't have to think about your turns and the red lights and everything, you can listen to a much deeper shir, right? So the more that davening to you is like a highway, that you can create a space where you're just cruising and you're just on a highway, you can allow your mind to go into places like where the kavanas are, and to think about the higher places in davening, not at the expense of having a good drive, but having a good, safe drive. But the ikkar is the drive. I mean, if you're not driving carefully, then it's sakanas nefashas. If the davening, if you don't have the basic kavana in davening, which is like davening straight, safely, then the whole davening is jeopardized. They don't want to do that. You want to be able to have, to after having a nice long drive, to say, I got a good cheer out of it also. That's how the kavanas would be like mosif to. And they're not exclusive of each other. They're both essential. But to have one without the other, it's like a chatzi tefillah, basically. But if you have to choose between one or the other, so the pasha way is first, because you have to get to your destination. That's first. And so therefore, you know, the first thing that a person needs to focus on in davening is that davening is, what is davening? Davening is coming in to davening with a clear, nothing else in the world exists right now other than this davening. And to be able to say the words with the sincerity, with the purity, with a certain holiness, that no outside thoughts come in. And it's not like your kavana is not like how much you're putting into it. Like, no, it's not what it is. Kavana starts from keeping everything out. And your kavana will only be as good as how much you prepare for davening. Because standing there for 45, 50 minutes, Shemona Esrei, and just kind of banging on the door, you know, with the same thing, you're just repeating yourself, that's not called kavana. It's already too late. Kavana really will be determined by how much you prepared for davening, how much davening means to you. That's it.
And now we talk about how this Havarav roll into like Nerechan, the Kanach
Right. And he did it with much more kavana than anybody else who took, you know, 5-10 hours of chvesvas. That's real kavana. Okay, it's hard to hear. Say it as it is, you know. I'm not holding a madriga. We're just learning right now. We're not, certainly not holding a madriga, but we're talking emes. And the emes is that the Samarav, in the blink of an eye, His, you know, when you're in Atzilus, so then it takes a second. But if you're in Asiya, you may have to have a 2-hour Shemona Esrei. But you think that you're going far in those 2 hours, but you're just in the same place. You're just going like this on the door, knocking. But you haven't covered much more ground in Asiya. Yeah.
What's the work of preparation? Like, not the time, what's the work?
The beginning of the work of preparing for davening is a mindset that davening is important. That's the first thing. Because if you don't understand that davening is important, then you're not going to invest yourself properly. So eventually you'll do preparations today, tomorrow, for a few weeks, and then you'll find other things which are more important than davening. The first thing has to be davening is the most important thing in the day. Before my work, before my family, before anything else, davening comes first. Davening comes first. Comes first. So therefore, if a person has a certain schedule where he has, you know, certain carpools and certain v'chuda that has to work out, that staring is good davening, then his priorities aren't straight. Person has to work out his day so that he's davening, shachris, he can daven like a mensch, he can go to a good minyan, v'chuda, v'chuda, so that, because if not, then it's a shayla, how important is your daven? If you had a big meeting every single day, and then each time the big client comes in and you're like, I'm sorry, like I know this happens all the time. You're asking for me for an hour and I'm only giving you 35. I have to do carpool. He's like, come on, I'm trying to make a huge deal with you. You know how many people you can hire to do carpools for you with a deal like this, and you're talking about carpool. So it's important that the chashivas which we give to Davin will make sure that the circumstances work out, that the circumstances are good. That we don't feel like we're shtipping and davening, or like we're squeezing it in between the time I wake up in the train and I have time to make breakfast, so I hopped out that 45 minutes, okay, that's going to make it work, and I found a good place which is close to the train, and if that's the cheshbon, how to make davening fit into my schedule, then there's an alarm which is going off, which is saying like, you know, I would say.
Finish the sentence.
He doesn't want to.
I don't want to hold myself guilty, you know. I don't want to be catching on myself by it. I'm just talking MS, but I'm a big talker, so I could say it very easily. But sparing myself the uncomfortability of having to say it. Discomfort.
So it was good to get back how we ended off yesterday, we started today, last week, that when you daven, you become the mashpia. So this is a higher level of davening, obviously.
The more people are in a person's ani, the more of a mashpia is, because he's not just davening for himself anymore, he's davening for people beyond him. That's a mashpia. He's being mashpia unto himself, but it's nogea to me that everybody should have hashpah.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, what you're saying, that you become the mashpia for Hashem.
Oh, okay, so that's a much higher level, yeah. If a person can clear the world of davening, or it's not just related to davening, it's related to everything. If a person can clear in his mind that the only thing which really exists in the world is the Shechina Kadosh and me, that's already a very big madrigal, because you're looking at the world from the lens of the neshama much more than just the physical eye.
How kedai is it to do it, to just say those words, even if you know it doesn't really mean anything to you?
It means a lot, as long as it's sincere. Meaning, it's a very good madrigal for a person to say, listen, Hashem, like, I know that if I really wanted to right now, if it was up to me, I would daven for myself. But I know what davening really is. I know enough already to know that that's low of me to do that. So I'm going to put out there, I'm going to daven for the Shechina Kadosha, and you know where my heart is, but this is where I want to go.
Even at the point of ignoring your own...
So this is what you do. Davening is different than saying Tehillim. The rest of the day is a time for a person to be a mensch. That he could daven for himself. Open up Tehillim, and he goes, he looks in the front of the article for Parnassa, chapter 57, and he opens it up and he davens. That's outside of davening is a time for a person to be a mensch. Shachas mincha ma'ariv is a time for a person to be a malach. It's a time for a person to be a neshama. Let's not use the time which we're meant to be tzaddikim and to be neshamas and to use it for ourselves. The rest of the day could be time for that. If you have to daven for your children, for your parnasa, so before davening, say kapit lach tehillim. After davening, throughout the day, say kapit lach tehillim, or to have conversation with Hashem. But davening was not meant for me. It was Misukim by Avraham, Misukim Yaakov, and they had very big intentions when they created davening. They didn't have to make something like that. They wanted to ensure that there would be a time that it would be Hashem's time. Hashem's time is Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv. If a person feels like he says to Hashem, listen, I know that I'm in a place, I've been taught my whole life, and I've been trained to see davening as just being for me, but I know enough already that davening is going to be a time of muktish for you, for your needs. I see through the lashonos of the davening, and I look at Pesukim Zimri really carefully, and I see it has nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with you. So I'm giving this to you. That's not a fakeness. That's a person saying, I know that there's a higher MS that's objective, I want to stand in that higher MS. And it doesn't even have to be deserving to be there. It's the utter truth. It's the absolute truth. And I can connect to the absolute truth over my little truth. So the little truth will be for the rest of the day. But I want that that time should be a way that I should connect to the higher MS. That's why we say MS so many times. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, MS, 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 MS. You come into the davening saying MS, 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 MS. 8 times you say MS. Because 8 is Lamala Min HaTeva, and it means we're talking about an MS, which is Lamala Min HaTeva. That's the Smichus Gudul L'Tvila, which takes us into the world of davening. And in that world of davening, what it means to be Omer L'Fteh Melech, Da'am L'Fteh Miyato Emin, it means only you and Hashem. So only you and Hashem. It doesn't even mean you. It just means in front of Hashem. That's really the highest level, which is the person has such a bittul that he knows that there is no me. And that gets to Menachem's question, but I don't want to do too much at once. I don't want to chew off too much at once. We'll come back to why that MS isn't even higher. MS is a higher Madrega.
If you hold also with the other way that we don't daven because of Avin Zergach, we daven because it's the Zecher, the Kabbanis. They didn't do the Kabbanis because the guy was doing it because he wanted a close deal or his kid to get married.
That's right.
The
Kabbanis
were
Klal Yisrael. That's right. Karban Tamei is Tikkun Olam. Yeah. That's not a personal Karban. It's the Karban on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Absolutely.
I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around a little bit in terms of sort of...
Reb Bunim, somebody once asked Reb Bunim. And he said, Rebbe, I'm davening. I get such headaches when I daven. So Reb Bunim said, who said davening has anything to do with the head? He said, I have a hard time wrapping my head around this. That's why I said that.
Having a hard time wrapping my heart around.
There you go.
I'm a little bit probably too practical for my own good. But I'm going to have Micha in, 2 hours, right? So should I be... I'm going to just wipe away the time I spent or the kavanas that I have about any individual needs or even needs that other people that I know that they have. And just say, look, I feel like I want to do that, but I'm not going to. Because I know this is more important, even though I have a hard time connecting to it.
So the it is that 2 hours before davening, if you feel like you have some things about your knife and you have to get off your chest, say some Tehillim. Say some Tehillim. Get it off your chest. Meaning, you begged Hashem for it already. But davening is supposed to be much higher than that. Mm-hmm. Don't show up to the national.
The Super Bowl, don't show up.
Thank you.
I got your back.
Yeah? Don't show up to that, wearing your college jersey. You brought the wrong jersey. Everybody who's here is wearing their the NFL jerseys, and you're coming with your college jersey. College jersey was for a different time. That was earlier in the day. Don't come with your practice jerseys.
1 second.
Oh. Andy! Can I give a perspective, maybe? Can I try to jump in?
Go ahead.
The source of the reason why we're dying for people or for ourselves is because there's pain. But that's just the symptom.
Right.
The root of the pain is the shame is in pain.
That's right.
So if we know someone who's, let's say we're dying with someone with parnassa needs, and we can stand in front of the king and get his needs solved, we find out that we could have gotten his and 1,000 other people's needs solved. We'd be like, I can't believe I blew it.
Right.
So anytime there's tsar, all that really is like an echo of the... There we go.
You was like...
No. It's really for you. I'm just setting it up. Anytime there's tsar, it's just really an echo of the tsar of the Shechina. And if we could not bite like the fake out, to go back to sports, if we don't buy the crossover and go right and know that it's really not right and just keep on going to the Shechina, we may be able to make a dent in the stuff that's giving everybody pain, and that's so much more personal,
right,
than our own pain.
But it seems to me, and I know we've talked about this a lot, right, it seems to me that there's that certain, aspect of bitachon hishtadlus to it where... the same way, how much status do you need to do? Well, how much of it are you going to be kicking yourself that you didn't do it, and you arrived to be tough? Are you going to regret the fact that you didn't put the ishtadlus into it? So, maybe you're not holding by someone who can't do the ishtadlus, you need to do it. When you hear about a tefillah, it's a little the same way. Like, how am I going to feel when I'm done davening and I didn't mention some particular need? I only focus on the Zarah Shechina. Am I going to feel like... I know it's not the case, but
I would just gave you the valve. Meaning that you're set, now you're covered. I get that feeling, but now you have a valve. Now you say, "Till him."
It's a great valve.
Now you're covered.
Nachum pointed out before, right? Every single one of the brachos actually is written in a way that goes directly towards
who?
Kleisrael, no.
Oh, not no, to me. Who never says anything about me in
Kleisrael. Okay. It's one thing to say, like, I'm Michal and Kleisrael, so my Davin Brech Aleinu, and I'm saying Kleisrael is a Parnas, so at least I'm included in. But when you're talking about Tzara Shechina, it's like, okay.
Because you're not part of the Shechina.
Well, why does davening get rid of the Tzara Shechina?
Huh?
Why does davening help the Tzara Shechina as opposed to actions?
We don't have to explain that. That's Hashem made the channel that Tefillah is the way. It's a spiritual channel which really everything does, obviously, but spirit tefillah has to do with the dibur, the words, the malchus. There are ways you can explain it, but the point is that davening is the time of day where we take a chayas for the shechina.
And it's dafka shachos mitkamar, right? Like I happen to go to kibur tzaddikim and you say tehillim. That's not the time necessarily to daven for the shechina.
Not necessarily. I mean, a tzaddik is always in the world of shechina. The only thing that is on his mind is the shechina. You can make davening whole day. Halavai spalt kol hayom. That's what it means. That a person is only so focused on the shechina. That's a very very high madriga. But if a person wants to, let's say, be yoytze the shulchan aruch of davening, you know, the real chassid the shulchan aruch of davening would be shachos mitkamar. That's the time for the shechina kedusha. And if you're going to go to kibur tzaddikim, you're not davening shachos mitkamar there. So, be creative. Do it the way you like to do it.
It's interesting you said prepare, because I didn't understand this until now, so I want to share it. I think all of us, let's assume we found out that we were wanted something. Let's assume our kids, if a parent's in pain and the kids know, and the kids can't get out of their own way, like they can't just stop asking for the lollipop, and the mom's in bed. At some point, you're like, where did we go wrong? This kid can't stop with the lollipop. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the mother's like, just came out of scoffing, came out of surgery. Like, it's just such a brokenness. And that kid is a teenager. Like, the kill. And then that kid is a 30-year-old just married. Like, just we can all recognize that the 32-year-old girl who can only think of herself and her mother's in pain is such a brokenness. So it makes sense to us that if our father or mother is in serious pain, that for us to stand in front of him and still be worried about our Kleinigkeit is the same. It's that we never think this way. Because, to your point, we roll into davening. We haven't thought of davening until davening actually starts. Like, there's no time for perspective. Like, we're literally in another conversation, like, or texting, or talking, until literally it starts. Asher Yisrael Zechel, Olivo Chassel. Everyone's like, okay, where am I? Okay, I'm good. Like, we're not even in the game. So how in the world can we say, wait a second. Shem's my dad. He's a father. He's in pain. Like, there's no prep time. And I'm not saying, I'm sure you're like, that's not really prep. That's my level of prep versus, like, Tzadikim. But that, like, to me is, like, actual practical Josh Brody advice. Like, this is practical advice. 5 minutes before I start, 10 minutes before I start from now on, davening starts for me, like what's name one said? Alan Weingrad, you know Alan Weingrad? He's a Baal Tshuva.
Yeah.
So he once came, I once spoke at a DRS Shabbaton with him, and he showed up. He used to play for the Cowboys and the Packers. He has a, which is like my ultimate Jew. And he was once a football player. Like, can you get better than that? Right?
And he's like, Charlie Harrar is my ultimate Jew.
So we came to davening together. We were at a high school Shabbaton. When he first became a Baal Tshuva, we came davening together, and nobody was there. The high school Shabbaton. Davening was 9 o'clock. Nobody was in the room. So he spoke to the high school kids. He's like, where was everybody? And they're like, come on, it's davening, shachar. It's like, we don't get there at 9. And he said the following story. If I can say it, even though it's totally, he said he played for, who was the coach of the, who's the coach for the Cowboys during the, Jimmy Johnson. So he said his first day, he called practice for 9 a.m. So he walked in at 9 a.m. So he comes into this room. You've got like Michael Irving, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith. And this dude just walks in, he's a lineman. And the place goes quiet. And Jimmy Johnson's like, what are you doing? He goes, it's 9 o'clock. He goes, get out of here. He comes back, he goes, when I call a meeting for 9 a.m., it means you're in your seat, your book open, and you're already in mental motion. But you don't just show up at 9 a.m. when I call a practice. He had to run laps. Everyone's like, are you crazy? Like, all these big superstars on the outside were tough guys. 9 a.m. So he tells the boys, I was there. He goes, davening's 9 a.m.? He goes, you're in your chair 8:50 ready to roll.
Yeah, but wait.
Let me just finish this point. This is what I think the rabbi's talking about. Shachar's 9 a.m. If we're going to play at a level of a professional, we don't roll in I don't even roll in like the other tefillin on 9 a.m. Our brain is going, it's 8:45. I'm about to speak to the king. It's 8:50. And the Shekhinah is in pain. And if I can move the needle by 0.00001%, then I've already achieved everything I want in my day, and it's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm saying I'm hearing you say this. Tell me if I'm like, if you're going to pull like, you're totally wrong. But like,
no, no, no.
That's prep. I may somehow make Hashem somehow have a little less pain if I can just... And then we go to davening, and we open up the Ashrei, and then I think... When you get to like Baruch Hinu, you're like, I want Parnasa, but like I got a shot at bringing Parnasa to Klal Yisrael. 0.00001%.
Why is it 0.001%? Why?
Because I'm being real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, before you respond, do you hear what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you. Everything makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And that's all true. But even that explanation and that focus on what prep for tefillah means, what Ellen Viner was saying was actually a very, very low level. Because he's talking to guys, or kids, or even for adults, who like, yeah, they roll in, they don't really take it so seriously, and even when they want to be asking for themselves, halfway through, they're thinking about who knows what, and they're not even on the need. So what I'm wondering
I was using it as a mushroom.
Obvious. Like, you know, look, I've gotten to a point in my life, if I'm not at davening 10, 15 minutes early, I feel like I'm late, right? So that for me is where I worked at. No, but being there is easy. That's the easy part, right? But in terms of like the focus, like you can sit and say, hey, I'm going to learn, pick a, you know, a mildly Hasidic Shosefer. Pick up a Mechah Milyo, pick up a Sifsei Chaim, and read about Tzfilo, and what she was talking about. Not maybe they meant it in a really deep way, but it's not really quite there. The focus is a completely different shift from you know, you recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, we get when these Project Inspire talks, right?
It's about said Hasidic Sarm and you said,
he said mildly Hasidic.
Hasidically inclined.
That's Josh's way of saying there's somebody in the Litvish world that I hold in the concepts of Hasidic.
So, my point is that, like, this is not just a take it more seriously, show up early, really think about what you're doing.
I'm not saying
this
that.
A change in kind.
Yeah. I'm saying, anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm with you. When I walk in, if we walk in 10 minutes earlier and we open up the sitter and we start davening and we say the word slower, I think that's a change. That's not what I think you're saying.
No.
I think what we're hearing is that's not enough anymore. The 10 minutes early, whatever that is whatever time you need to get into a headspace as to what you're actually doing versus what the words in the most simplest forms and what we learned growing up will take us on their own to do.
To me, it's not, I mean, I'm saying for myself personally, it's not about a prep issue. It's a total change of focus so you know what exactly it is you're prepping. Because you can prep and get there and do it.
Skip a few steps, friend.
Yes. Fine. I get it. But that's the whole point here. That's the whole point.
Right. But it's like you can prep and say I'm going to prep for and I'm going to run laps every single day. And it's like, great, your speed has gotten grippy. Your endurance still stinks, and you were prepping for the wrong thing.
But I'm saying something different. Yeah.
You didn't buy in yet.
I'm saying that if you prepped properly, listen to what I'm saying. Rabbi Yeshua just added a nuance that was a chiddush to all of us. Okay, it's a higher way of dominating. Fine. What I'm suggesting is like this, and I could be wrong. It's actually the most logical approach to dominate. It's not the highest level. It is the highest level, but if we don't have to like, wait, I have to be like a gadol hador. No, if we think about it, that approach is the most logical, most rational approach to tefillah. If we believe one thing,
you're making certain assumptions that you need to
speak. Once we believe that we can actually make this difference, the only thing to me that is the hard part of what you're saying is, can I actually do anything? Because I'm just some yokel sitting in one little place that can... If I can...
Rockaway of all places, though.
Well, I wouldn't be going there. At least I'm in Woodmere. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least I'm 5 minutes from the... At least I'm 2 feet from a bar. But what I'm saying is, let's assume for a second that we believe that we can actually make a difference, which I think still is a big thing to say. If that were true, that we can make a difference, and we actually spend time thinking about it, prepping, that we could actually shift the pain of the Shekhinah. Forget all the background. Forget everything we've ever learned. the most logical, most rational approach to tefillah would be
to make her happy.
Right? Yeah, I can make Hashem happy when I daven. I could change the star of the Shechina. Like, if I would choose between $1 billion and to help Hashem feel happier, the most logical Jewish approach would be, what, are you kidding me? He has all the money, and this is going to go away, and I'm going to die before I can spend it. I can make Hashem happy. Like, this isn't even a question. So once we get to a place, logically and rationally, that we can actually affect the Tzara Shechina, then it becomes, in my opinion, the most rational approach to tefillah. I'm going to walk in every day. Mm-hmm. And say, let's do this. Now, I don't necessarily know what the difference that we can actually make, to be honest. I'd like to believe we can actually change the Shara Shechina. But the reason why, even with that understanding, I still won't do it, is because I'm going to walk into davening, I'm going to see my buddy, we're going to talk about the week, and I'm just going to say, Vayidab, Marsha, Marsha, and all of a sudden, like, I'm going to be like, in Vayidaber, and I'm going to be thinking, oh, okay, where am I? And by the time I'm in motion, I'm already in davening. Yeah. So I don't have the time for the... Wait, where am I? Where am I? What can I do? What can I really do? My dad's in pain. He's sitting on the corner struggling. Wait, I can... Once that all mentally gets into focus, okay, I'm here. We have a half an hour, and I can literally... Once that gets into focus as prep, I think what flows from Ashrei becomes a whole different game.
I think you're jumping ahead into the actual practically doing, and I think...
Josh is a being.
We're stuck in understanding the concept of what it means. And I think what you're saying is 100% correct, that logically it has to work. Because if you believe that when you daven to Hashem for yourself or your family or your extended circle, your greater ani, that you could actually affect some change there, so why would you stop there? You have to keep going. You're limiting. That's what I think you're saying.
You're saying something a little. He's pushed it a little bit more than what you're saying.
No, but that's a good way of approaching it, though.
Right, because
that's probably will resonate with more people. But this is more idealistic what he was saying.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to say, like, you can't stop there. Logically, it doesn't make sense. I could daven from Hashem, just give me stuff or my people or my friends, but then you're stopping short. And logically, okay, then what? You keep on going.
I like that approach.
And you end up at davening for Hashem.
I like the way you did that. That's a very good approach to what I
said. That's what I was saying in the beginning. There's one thing I need.
One thing I'm just stuck on. Maybe this is what Menachem has asked before. One thing I'm stuck on. I get, like, you daven for yourself. Okay, you know what's a high level davening for yourself? You know, all the Shmoneh Esrei is written in the plural. Focus not just on yourself, focus on Klal Yisrael. Get it. That next step, when you're saying the words, pick whatever bracha you want. I can process, you know, I have a bunch of different things and people I want to daven for, and I can go through it in my head. But other than saying I want to end the Tzara Shechina, okay, I'm done. Good, now this feels over. Like, right, what are you supposed to do?
You're emotional about the mother who's sick.
What is the word?
Josh is asking.
The words you're saying.
That's the answer.
When the words you're saying all relate to physical needs, and
it doesn't need to stem, but we can discuss the Shema. It doesn't need to stem because again there's the chitzonius and there's the pnimius of davening. The chitzonius words of davening are conveying the chitzonius. Every person chitzoni can relate to the chitzonius of the davening. It says Hashem Yehi Azar Zarah. Okay, bring me the teshuva, bring me parnasah. It's made that way. However, open up in Arizal, and I'll show you. That's not what it means. It means something totally different. You have to understand the pnimius if you want to know what the shechina means. By the way, I could also says the Ari teach to you how every single word here in chitzonius means pnimius too. But you know, you have to open up in Ari to see how he does that. He can show you how the words which you think you're saying are really chitzonius, but they're really kulo pnimius. Ad kedei kach that you probably think you, I can't believe you even thought that meant chitzonius. That's what he would do. That's what the Ari does. Okay. However, you can even al pipshat, which is like al pichsidus, you can explain how it is that really what you're doing in even al pichitzonius is completely has to do with tikkun hashechina and tzara shechina. How? Because the tzaddikim say many times in explaining what tzara shechina means, and we've spoken about this before. Tzara shechina al pipshat could be one way to explain it is that the shechina is bitzar because she wants to be mashpia so much and she can't give. If the Gemara says Yoisi Mimasha Eagle wrote La Hanik that the Imo wants to give, right? That the Pai wants to be Mainik. Right? The mother is bitzar because she has so much to give, and she's just busting from the seams. The Shekhinah HaKadosh has so much that she wants to give Klal Yisrael, but there's nobody to take. And there's nobody to say, give. So, but we daven for the Shekhinah to Hashiveinu, bring us to the Uchiva, which means to give, give, give. We're alleviating the Shekhinah from her pain, that now she can give, somebody's here to take. That is a bridge between asking for what we want and the Pashup Shadon Hashiveinu, but at the same time, the focus is not on my receiving, it's on your giving. And that in itself relieves the Shekhinah from herself.
Just don't fool yourself.
No. But let's tie what you said earlier, because I just want to make sure those pieces are connected. Since the peh is the channel of how things happen, by actually verbalizing it in tefillah, you can bring it. Now, that's a key piece here, right? Right. Meaning, you're not saying give it. You're actually becoming a channel for it, because Hashem decided that the peh is going to be the channel. That's the Rambam. That's right. That's a key piece here.
Why is that a key piece?
Because otherwise Hashem would give it to you without asking for it. Otherwise, if Hashem wants to give, he'll just see somebody working and go, by the way, it's been a pleasure. Here's extra bucks. Hashem could do whatever he wants. No, Hashem is waiting for someone to open their mouth. So by just saying, give us money, what you're doing is you're actually now creating an actual channel that can go through.
Because Ein Adam Matyas Atzmo Be'Sasur, the Gemara says, you can't take yourself out of your own. The davening is the Maisa. I mean, Akima Svasav Havi Maisa, the Gemara says, the davening from your mouth is a Maisa. This is called a Maisa. Maisa is not just using our hands. This is also a Maisa.
Right. The Baal Tanya writes that by the Shefa's there, but your Maisa, like, Taichi Zerea Tzedakah, is by giving that act of Tzedakah, is Matzine Kishur. It opens up that channel to bring down the Shefa. The Shefa's sitting there. You need to do your Maisa of Chesed.
But you're saying that Dominion's a Maisa.
The Dibur itself is a Maisa, yeah. That's Tzedakah for the Shekhinah, the Dibur itself.
How does one daven for the Shekhinah? So used to davening for yourself and your family and your greater any and your circles, and the words are chitzonius and more relatable to, you know, a human. But Rebbe's now, we're shifting our focus to davening for the Shekhinah.
Right.
How does one daven for the Shekhinah?
Okay, so it has to do with, like we said before, a little bit. Of course, there's a process, which means that a person takes himself constantly out of his own ani. It comes from a certain mabat of truth, like we said before, that there's a higher truth. That my davening for myself is a lower MS, and davening for the Shekhinah is the real MS, because that's the real MS of Metzias, is davening for the Shekhinah Tesha. It comes from an understanding of that's what davening was created for. And you're right, it may not be so easy. And a person's inclination will be, I want to daven for myself during davening. This is a great time. This is a great moment. It's a great opportunity. I should daven for myself. So the answer to that is no. Davening wasn't created for that. If you want to daven for yourself, so say to Helen before davening, give me a time to go to the oil and say to Helen, or Chaparayin here, daven for yourself. I mean, we should daven first of all. We should be real. But davening was created to be a certain way. Like, a baseball bat was made for baseball, not for hockey. So use davening for the tour. It was meant to daven for the Shekhinah HaKadosh. So if you want to play hockey, so take out a hockey stick the rest of the day. But if you're scheduled to play a 2 o'clock baseball game, then come with your bat. Don't come with your hockey stick. That's what davening is. Come to do what you're supposed to do at this time. And if you want time to daven for yourself, no, that's for you. The rest of the day is for you. But this time is for the Shekhinah. This time is for Knesset Yisrael. That's what this time is, the day is about. To step up and to be a neshama, not just to be a girl. That's it.
It's tremendous. Just these two points that you brought up, it sets the path on who you are. Meaning, just think about how hard it's going to be for a Jew to say, the most important part of my day, the whole day has to surround the best place for tefillah. And when I get to that, all I'm thinking about is Hashem. Those two nekudos, if you do them well, your whole focus is shift. It goes from, you can't possibly do those two things well if you're ani focused. Because you focus your day on the things that you care about most. And even if you're giving God his hour, you're like, fine. Now can you give me money and make everybody healthy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a... Or you can, and even the idea of hopping a Rhine, it's like totally different. Like, when can I catch a?
It's a huge Maisa Bittel. If a person can succeed at that, you succeeded in a huge amun of Bittel piece in your life.
And you didn't even start your day yet. You understand? Like, it's not even 9 a.m. yet.
It's supposed to set the tone for the day. That's what it is. So one of the reasons why Shachar is where it is. Mincha could have been the Shachar, but Hashem said no. I want your racious moment. I want your beginning of your day. I want everything else to flow from that racious. So just give me yourself in the beginning, and the rest of it will flow.
That's why I think, honestly, the most, and I don't know what you think of this, I think the holiest things that take place every day, my humble opinion, I'll say the holiest, I shouldn't say it, but, is when you go to like a good Sephardi mincha in the city, and you see these guys walk in, and they start with like, and they go a good 10-minute ketoret, like they're not, mincha takes 30 minutes. These guys have nowhere to go, they're working, and you're like, if you're taking 30 minutes midday to say mincha, you know
really,
it comes
really,
to
really like your
parnasa. You must know that Hashem is giving out parnasa.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.